Hello, and welcome to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Virtual Gathering. I'm so happy you're here and want to thank you for saying yes to the possibility of inviting, inspiring, and igniting love into your life with your right guy. I'm so excited to welcome you and women from all over the world to this global gathering, which is designed to help support you on your journey to deep, satisfying soulmate love. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant-Johnson with Love Life Coaching, and I'm very passionate about supporting you on your journey to the relationship of your dreams, because it's only been 9 short years since I got support after my own long and winding journey to love and became an ecstatic first-time bride, marrying the man of my dreams at age 43. Now I'm so blessed and privileged to support amazing women throughout the world who want to enjoy the satisfaction, contentment, and joy of a committed relationship with a man they love, admire, and respect, the kind of man who loves, cherishes, and adores them. And I want that for you, too. If you're a woman who has taken a short or even a long hiatus from dating but wants to start dating again, or are currently dating and just want to know more about men and how to improve your confidence and skills in relating to men, or are even in a relationship but you wonder if it could be better, then congratulations, because you're in the right place. I've gathered some of the world's top relationship experts to give you some of their best wisdom, advice, and guidance to help you have the relationship of your dreams. And together we're setting an intention to provide you with the best we have so that you can move through the challenges holding you back in your love life toward the extraordinary relationship you've always dreamed of. I'm so excited to interview our guest today, and I invite you to give yourself the gift of being fully present and freeing yourself from all distractions. Please take a few notes, or better yet, check out the VIP upgrade packages at readyfortherightguy.com/VIP, and you'll also get some supplementary resources to go along with each of the conversations. I'm very excited, and it's my privilege to introduce our wonderful guest expert today, Kim Saracen, also known as the Queen of Hearts. Welcome, Kim.
Hi.
So happy to have you here.
And I am equally delighted to be here on this call. Such a juicy topic and something that I could talk about all day long, 24/7.
Yes,
the topic of
I
love and understanding these boys.
Yes, these boys in men's bodies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit about Kim before we get started. Kim Saracen, the Queen of Hearts, is one of North America's most sought-after relationship experts. With over 50,000 fans and followers and a 97% success rate for connecting women with their soulmate, Kim has dusted off the hearts of thousands of women across the globe through her private coaching practice and popular online group programs. Well, I love that, dusted off the hearts of thousands of women. That's beautiful. Kim specializes in helping women balance their masculine energy and activate more of their soft feminine grace, something that many women have become disconnected from, stuffing it down in order not to appear weak, especially in the business world. This is at the core of all of her teachings. Like attracts like. If you want to attract a king, then you must know how to be a queen. Along with supporting women in love, Kim has also developed numerous popular online programs that will help you transform and heal your limiting money stories. You're also able to release your money blocks and live life as a true money goddess. Kim is a regular guest expert on numerous media outlets, including CTV, CBC-TV, Global TV, The Globe and Mail, Shape Magazine, and Vancouver Sun, to name a few. Kim has also been nominated 2 years consecutively for the prestigious RBC Woman Entrepreneur of the Year Award for her contribution to her community and industry. really excited about having Kim with us. I love the things that she teaches, and I think this is going to be incredibly valuable. And the theme of our conversation today is how to activate your inner queen to attract your king. Kim, I'd love it before we get started if you would tell us just a little bit about yourself and how you found your way into this particular work. And then we have some really juicy topics we want to discuss with you today.
Well, I really did start where I believe a lot of women tuning in right now are at, and that is I was in a place where my relationships were getting worse as I was getting older, which increased my frustration. I really thought that relationships were kind of like a job where the longer you're in the job, the better you get at it. And I thought if I just continually had relationships that eventually one day I'd wake up and I would know everything and my soulmate would just, you know, come up and ring my doorbell.
Yeah, that didn't happen for me either.
Gallop in on his white horse or whatever it was. And that really wasn't happening at all. And I remember specifically one relationship where it wasn't a long-term relationship. It was maybe 7 months. But it was like everything came to a head. It was like another breakup, still not learning what I thought I was supposed to know, and frustrated and just, you know, it was a mess. And so what I decided to do was go on a personal quest. And I quit my career. I put everything in storage and I headed down to California. And the reason I chose California is, one, it was in my same time zone, but also California, especially San Francisco area, so progressive. I mean, this is where the 60s revolution occurred. This is where a lot of progression, a lot of gurus hang, you know, are from there and live there. And so I knew if I just headed down there that would be a good starting point, not knowing where it would take me. And so what I did was I took a lot of really out there California style workshops, as they can only be just so out there in California. And I went on a journey towards my own heart. And I interviewed happy couples to figure out what are you doing that is keeping you together and happy. I read 500 books on dating and relationships.
Wow.
I practiced, took every workshop, every seminar, everything to do with self-improvement. There was one point where I had hit a certain point and just ended up crying for like 3 months straight, just because of what I was learning and the transformation that was occurring for me. And what came through for me on the other side was a completely different way that men would respond to me. All of a sudden, when I walked into a room, men were around me and wanting to look after me, talk to me, date me, and this was not my experience prior to this at all. And so women and other people were noticing this. And so I would give them various tips and advice and let them know what I was doing. And then I had enough people asking me individually that I said, look, why doesn't everybody just come over to my place on Saturday and I'll lay it all out for you, everything that I've learned on this quest. And that's really how it all started in terms of my Queen of Hearts business, is I just put a seminar together and started teaching people in my living room. And I've never looked back, really. So that was my journey. It really began in misery and anger and frustration. That was the catalyst, and then it just propelled me forward from there. So if anything, I want everybody tuning in that, you know, contrary to what Lady Gaga says, I was not born this way. I was not born with all this knowledge about how to be a queen that attracts a king, or be a queen wherever I go. It was a long journey for me. But what the great news is that you get to stand on my shoulders of knowledge, and I'm very passionate and very committed about making sure that women have the tools and the information that they need so that they don't have to spend 14 years on a therapist couch. Because as women, we want what we want when we want it, which means right now. As soon as a woman has a desire, we want it right in that moment. And so what I discovered in my process was that I have some natural gifts with teaching, and that I know how to take really big, complex topics with a lot of information and whittle things down, hone them down into simple steps and a simple way to understand things so that you can get it. So that's why I love doing calls like this, Michelle, because I get to whittle things down for women and just give you the basics of what it takes to have a fulfilling relationship and attract your ideal partner.
Thank you for sharing that. I think it's so fascinating because I think a lot of us that are involved in this work came into it from a place of our own challenges and our own struggles and needing to figure it out for ourselves. And I think it's so powerful, like you said, to recognize that we don't necessarily intuitively understand some of these important things. It's like you were talking about, we just kind of assume sometimes or expect that the relationship of our dreams is just going to happen. And yet so many of us are really not prepared for that, or we don't have the understanding as to how we can effectively attract and create the kind of love in our lives that we really want, particularly with some of the complexities and differences between men and women and how we might interact in our professional lives as opposed to our romantic lives. And we're going to talk about this today. I'm really excited about that and appreciate you sharing a bit of your journey.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, I know, especially if you're single right now, a lot of comparison energy can get activated because you're looking at other women who married their high school sweetheart, or women who just seem to attract men and great relationships with no issue. And what you have to keep in mind is that everybody here, men and women, we all have our divine life path. And in terms of relationship, some people's life path is to meet and marry their ideal partner early on and learn all of their relationship lessons with that one person. Other people are meant to have a series of different relationships and learn all their relationship awarenesses in that kind of scenario. So when you see women out there that are in relationship or married or, married their high school sweetheart or whatever it is, it's just because that was their life path and how it's been designed for them perfectly, divinely perfectly for them. And so it doesn't mean that you're faulty or wrong or that you need to be fixed in any way. It's just you're following along your divine path. And how amazing that you're on this call today and you're going to learn some new tools to make that path even smoother. This is what I've really learned. Okay, this is what I've learned is that what it takes to attract your ideal partner absolutely can be learned. There are some women that were blessed and born with an innate understanding of what men need, and oftentimes it's because their mother knew and that mother's and their grandmother knew. So it's a legacy that got passed down where women just had an innate understanding of what it is that men want. And other women, we weren't born with that. But I want to reassure everybody tuning in, Michelle, that it absolutely can be learned, and I am living proof of that. And I'm not going to make you read 500 books on dating and relationships like I did. I've already got all the knowledge, and we're going to spill the secrets.
I love that perspective, and I love that message of hope. I think it's very hopeful, your perspective that for some women they're meant to learn their relationship lessons with one person, whereas others of us learn from different relationships. And I agree with you, these skills and this knowledge can be learned, because I was one of those who had to take the path of going through many relationships to figure that out. And I thought I'd read a lot of books, but I can't compete with 500.
That's what it's all about here, is competition. No.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Totally kidding, Michelle.
Yeah, no. But I think it's a hopeful perspective that you offer, and I really appreciate what you said about our different life paths, because you're right, the comparison thing, the competition thing, whatever we might want to call it, does get in the way sometimes, where we'll look and say, well, why does it seem like it's so easy for other people? This was, for me, I felt that way so many times as a single woman, because I was successful in my career, and it seemed like everyone all around me was getting married. All of my younger brothers and sisters got married and had children, and I'm still single. And I thought, why does this seem to happen so easily and naturally for so many other people, and yet for whatever reason it seems to be a place that I'm stuck? We're going to talk about some of your teachings today, and what I'd like to start with is something that I think is really powerful, and it's something that's talked about a lot, Kim, but sometimes I don't know if people really understand what it means or how it impacts our interactions and our possibilities for a loving relationship. But one of the things I know that you teach is that falling in love with you before you fall in love with him, whoever he is, dramatically increases your ability to attract and maintain a fulfilling relationship. And I'm wondering if you can tell us a little more about what you mean by that and why that's so impactful and important.
Well, it is really, really important to fall in love with yourself before you meet your dream man. And the reason for that, if you don't love you, then how can he love you? And, you know, with men, they can tell if you're happy or unhappy with yourself. I call it yuck or yum. So men can pick up on your frequency. And if you think we aren't giving out a frequency, I want to give you a little example here. You know, when you go to a hotel and, you know, those kind of cheap clock radios they have on beside the bed. And if you notice, when you turn on the clock radio, usually the station's all out of whack and you have to adjust it and put it in different positions, prop it on the pillow. And if you notice when you go towards it that the frequency gets better, and when you walk away from it, it gets all crackly and out of tune again. So if that is an evidence that we are a frequency, then I don't know what is. So it's the same when you're in the company of men. They have a barometer, and they can pick up on what's happening inside of you. So if you aren't happy with yourself, if you're doubting your looks, if you're not clear and clean from past relationships, if you're carrying baggage with you, it's all stuff that a man is going to pick up on. And what a lot of women do and make a mistake with is they go out and want to seek a man when they're in a really vulnerable place. And you may notice this, you know, anybody tuning in, check in for yourself. When you're really pining or really yearning for a man, it's usually when things aren't going so well in your life. It really gets kicked up when you're going through any kind of personal life struggle, or when you're trying to fill a void. And I'm telling you, this is the worst time to be getting into a relationship or seeking out a man and a relationship. So that's a big mistake that women make, because a man's job is not to make you happy. It's actually to make you happier. And if you're not happy now, a man is going to see that. He is going to pick up on the fact that you're trying to fill a void, and he'll go, wow, if she's not starting out happy, that means she's not going to be happy later either. And it's interesting, a client recently asked me, you know, why do women attract their soulmate when they're not even looking for a guy? And it's because of two things. They're not attached to meeting a man, and this energy of unattachment frees them up to be just enjoying themselves and how their life is now. They're just out there having a good time. It's this way of traveling light and carefree that is super, super attractive to men. Like really unencumbered, men can pick up on that. You know, you're just being yourself versus being in a place that you won't be happy until you find a man. You can see the difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's important for you to really heal and clear out all the past residue, clear out the clutter, clear out the things going on in your inner world so that men are only picking up on you feeling good. And how you do that is by really chomping down on your life right now. It's about chomping down, feeling good, about focusing and zeroing in on everything that is good about you and everything that is great about your life. And it's interesting because what I see a lot of women doing is focusing on the external, on the outside, focusing on the perfect hair, the perfect body, getting the right makeup, perfect clothing, and staying fit, and they aren't meeting the man. They aren't attracting a guy. And the reason for that is really this inner frequency, this vibration you're giving out. You can't just clean up one part of you and not deal with your inner world. And I'm telling you, the fastest way to have a man come towards you is to be happy right now. So that's something that you must focus on and finding what is good about your life right now. And you might even want to start thinking about some things and writing them down as I'm talking here. You know, what is good about your life now? What do you love about yourself? And start there, because you want to have this attitude, like you want to approach your dating life as a man coming in to the good time, like a man coming in as a bonus to the fabulous party that's already happening. So it's about being that woman that's unattached and just having a good time and finding fulfillment in lots of other places in your life. Like that's another thing. Like men want to hook up with a woman who's passionate about, has some kind of focus and passion in her life. It could be something as simple as, I don't know, the first thing, you know, crocheting. I don't know what it is, but you've got to have some kind of passion and focus in your life. Or it could be saving the world or whatever it is. Men get very concerned with women who don't have another focus and passion in their life because they know if she's in some kind of place of boredom and that all her excitement is going to be wrapped around this man coming in, that then all the focus and attention will go only on him, and eventually that doesn't work out because then a woman will start to find things wrong with a man when all her attention and happiness is locked in with this guy. It's too much pressure. Men like to feel that they are responsible for happiness. They kind of like that idea. But at the same time, they don't want the burden of having all the responsibility for all your happiness.
Yeah, and I think that's so important what you're saying there, because I think it can be a tendency sometimes for a woman to kind of drop some of the other interests or passions in her life when she's getting involved with a man and kind of put that single focus on him and the relationship. They might stop spending time with their friends or doing other things that they really enjoy, and it might seem a little counterintuitive, but if you think about it, it really makes sense that having those passions and those interests are part of what likely attracted him to you in the first place. I love this concept of the yum factor, because then you're coming to a place where you're attracting love from a place of abundance rather than from a place of neediness or lack.
Mm-hmm. He's the bonus to the party you're already having. That is highly, highly attractive. That's when attracting men around becomes effortless. Go back to being that woman that's carefree, unencumbered, having a good time. Activating that kind of energy is what will attract men around. And yeah, like in the beginning, when you're in a hot relationship, like all that attraction, of course the girlfriends drop off, and the interest that you had before, they're going to drop off for a period of time because you're both just so excited to be with each other. But you just want to make sure that you're not getting too wrapped up in him. And I see what can happen for women, especially if they've been single for a while. They become so, feel so lucky when a man eventually does ask them out that they start to put him on a pedestal and twist themselves up into a pretzel to accommodate all his needs because they're so afraid of losing the guy. So the thing I want to say there is don't ever for one minute forget that you're the prize. You're the prize, not him. I don't care if it's been 30 years since you've been on a date. You always show up as the prize, that he's so lucky to be breathing your same air.
I love that. Yeah, and I think that's so important because I think you're right, particularly if it's been a while, we can feel so grateful that someone has just showing interest or has shown up in our lives that we lose that perspective of remembering our own value as a woman and that we are the prize. And I really love that you said that. It doesn't matter how long it's been. It doesn't matter what has happened in your past or what your history is in terms of relationships that haven't worked out the way you hoped. You are the prize. And I love that. I love that reminder, Kim. I think that's so powerful and so important. One of the things that is hard is if it has been a while, I think it's difficult to feel really confident sometimes. And I know that you've shared with us already some of the things that we can do to start igniting that passion and that joy and that lightness and that fun back into our lives that can be so attractive to a man. But I'm curious if you can give us some tips for women on how they can instantly boost confidence and own any room that they walk into. Because I think that we can kind of feel like we've become invisible sometimes to men if it's been a while since someone has really paid attention or has dated us or we've taken a hiatus for whatever reason.
Well, the way I, and I know that there's probably some women who are tuning in who are already in relationship, and so I know the majority are single, but any tips that I share just before I share anything is, it can apply to whether you're single or in relationship, because where I'm focused is just overall the man-woman dynamic and what works. So one of the first things I want to say to really help you be more attractive is to be really, really proud to ask for what you want. And the thing is, women are afraid to ask for what they want from a man because A, they don't feel they deserve to have all they want, and B, they're afraid if they ask for too much, he's going to run away. But the thing is, men can't read your mind. They need very clear instructions. And if you're not asking for all that you want, you're never going to feel fulfilled. And this applies whether you're on a first date or already in relationship. You never stop asking for what you want because as women, our needs are continually changing. So we'll want one thing and then 5 minutes later we want something different. That's just the nature of women. We're changing our desires all the time. And we have to inform men when our desires have changed. So you absolutely deserve to have all that you want. Men are very excited to produce things for you. And Michelle, in your relationship, you know this for sure. But so it's like releasing that fear if you ask for too much, he's going to run away. Because men are actually production junkies, and the reason we don't think that men like to produce as much as they do, because in terms of us and production, if we do a whole bunch of stuff, we get burnt out. We have a cap basically on, or a limit on how much we can produce in a day. Men, completely different. They're like ever-ready bunnies. In fact, they love on their gravestone, thoroughly used up. That's what they want on their gravestones. So they have unlimited production energy, and so hopefully that's going to help you release any fears you have of asking for too much. You can never ask for too much. So that's one thing, is to be really proud to ask for what you want from a man. Another thing that you might not think of but is really important, especially if you're single, is to get your money house in order. You know, money is and continues to be a taboo subject, a lot like, say, the subject of sex would be way back in the 18th century. That's, you know, that kind of taboo. Of course, mm-hmm. my vision and mission is to make the subject of money as easy as, you know, pass the salt. But the thing is that stats continually prove it's the number one thing that men and women argue about. And if you don't have your money house in order before you meet a man, you're going to bring your money issues with you into the relationship, and you're going to walk into that relationship not feeling empowered. It's going to be like your dirty little secret, and it will eventually impact your relationship. So what you want to be doing is start to create healthy habits and a healthy relationship with money before you enter into a relationship. It really is a huge confidence boost for women when you can be in control of your finances. So that's another thing. So it's be proud to ask for what you want and get your money house in order. And then the other thing I recommend is to really set your standards and raise that bar really, really high. So women have a funny thing about raising standards or having high standards. And it's the difference, what I call between, because, the reason for that is because they're afraid of, it's in this area of being like a gold digger or a demanding kind of woman. And it's what I call the difference between high maintenance and desirable maintenance. So ultimately, what I'm trying to get across to you and all women is that men will treat you according to the standards that you set for yourself. A man will always match his behavior and actions wherever you have set the bar. So are you setting it high or are you setting it low? That's the question you want to be checking in with yourself. And the difference, so let me just explain what high maintenance is. A high maintenance woman is a woman who keeps asking for things but never appreciating what a man produces for her. So it's like, I want a car, and he gets a car, and then she wants something more and more and more, and a bigger house and more jewelry, and not just material things. It can show up in different ways, but I'm using material things just for an easy visual. So that a high maintenance woman is just any woman who asks a man to do things for her and never follows up with any form of appreciation. Desirable maintenance is a woman who asks for all that she wants but does follow it up with gratitude, appreciation, always lets the man know how much she appreciates and approves of him. So that's the difference. So actually, a lot of women don't realize that they're being high maintenance in the world, because we've got this image of a high-maintenance woman, like some woman in stiletto heels driving a Mercedes with furs and jewelry, right, like high-maintenance and demanding and cruel. But I wanted to make sure that women understood that high-maintenance is any time a man produces something for you, whether it's even just getting you a cup of coffee or taking out the garbage or creating a great date for you, and if you don't verbally share some form of gratitude and appreciation for that, he feels it and you come across as high maintenance and they won't ask you out again. Mm-hmm. So now that you know what desirable maintenance is and you know that you all need to do is just make sure you're acknowledging men for anything they produce, you have full permission now to set your standards really high. You can feel confident doing that because you now have the key. As long as you're following up with appreciation, you can ask for the moon. So you can have really high standards, right?
Yeah, it's been my experience that men will basically move mountains for a woman if he feels acknowledged and appreciated for the gifts that he brings, whatever those gifts are. I've experienced that with my own husband, and it's something I've had to learn, because even the little things, when I notice even the little things that he does and acknowledge and appreciate them, he beams almost like he's a little boy. It's the cutest thing. And
yeah.
It's such a small thing for me to show that appreciation in that way, and yet I know that it does so much for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I loved the definition you gave of high maintenance, because you're right, I think we have this certain image of that, and yet I think there can be such a temptation to not acknowledge or appreciate or even notice some of the ways that men might show up for us, and
mm-hmm.
it can make such a huge difference. One of the things I wanted to ask you just as a follow-up question, Kim, because I think this is something that would be really valuable to this audience, is when you were speaking about asking for what you want,
mm-hmm.
I wonder if you can give an example of a way a woman might ask for something that she wants, just as an example to help kind of visualize or have in our minds what that might look like.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, this is something that I've taught in my seminars and share with lots of different women, and that's it's something I call the training cycle. And the reason I call it the training cycle is because men really, if we don't train them on all the things that we want and the way we want them done, they can really become a pain in our lives. They become useless to us, because if they can't read our mind, they don't have that superpower. And I want to just segue a tiny bit here. The reason we think men can read our mind is because our girlfriends can read our mind. So,
right.
Michelle, if you and I were, you know, sitting in front of each other, looking at each other, I could download a whole bunch of information to you, and you would get it.
Right.
Without
right.
us even exchanging a word. We have that superpower as women. And because we think men are the same as us, we don't understand why they don't pick up on what a certain look on our face means. Because our girlfriends would pick up on it or tune in or just intuitively know it. So men cannot read your mind. They need to be told, and they need clear instructions. And so it really is your responsibility as a woman to take your, well, we get really lazy around this, because we just want them to kind of show up on our doorstep like an Apple product, you know, where you can just take it out of the box and plug it in, and it's got everything download, like everything uploaded that we need to operate that computer. And we kind of want men to show up on our doorstep the same way. Just
yeah.
all plugged in with the software, and they aren't. In fact, they arrive on our doorstep outfitted with all the other ways that, all the things they've done that have made other women happy, but you're unique. And if you like roses on Wednesdays, but other women like daisies on Fridays, well, you got to make sure the guy knows that. And men are kind of like your standard 57 Chevy, so you just got to add on your options. That's how you kind of want to look at it. And so the training cycle is a three-part tool that you can use. So to give you a visual, think of an Oreo cookie. So an Oreo cookie has the dark top part, the white yummy icing in between, and then the bottom dark part that closes the cookie. So that's how the training cycle works in these three parts. Now, the way you want to start with this is, because men are so short on approval and appreciation, guess what? That's a really great place to start with men when you want to get their attention and ask for something. So what you would do is you start with some kind of form of appreciation that perks their ears up. And then the middle part of the cookie is the white yummy icing, which is the request, the thing that you want. And then the bottom part of the cookie to close everything is another form of appreciation for the guy, or gratitude or whatever it is. So what that would look like is starting with appreciation. So let's say, you know, we'll create this fictional guy, George. It's like, George, you're so big and strong. I love that you, you know, brought up the couch from the basement the other day. Gosh, I love it when you do things for me. And you know what? I'd appreciate it if you'd take out those two big cans with the bricks in them out of the garage. I would just so appreciate that. And you know what? I'm just so delighted to have a man around to ask things of that can lift heavy stuff for me. So can you see how I put that all together? I started with the appreciation. The white icing was the request to bring the two cans of stuff out from the garage. And then I followed up with, you know, I'm just so appreciative that I have a man with, you know, a strong man to ask things of. So I kind of get, it's kind of an example of maybe two people have been, who are in a couple situation, but I want you to be able to transfer this into the dating world. And it works the same way. It's like a guy asks you out on a date and he said, well, I thought we could go to that new jazz club. And you're like, well, Tom, that's a great idea, and I appreciate you organizing things for the date, but you know what? I'm really into country music, and I know this band is happening, you know, playing downtown. I'd love it if we could go there instead, and, you know, I just appreciate your flexibility on if we could do that instead. So you see how it can really be adjusted, and it's pretty simple. You just, it's like appreciation, request, appreciation.
Mm, the Oreo cookie, I love that.
And a lot of women are actually doing this in business already, but never thought of transferring it over to their love life or with men. It's a way of talking to employees to motivate them and inspire them. And so if you are already doing this in business, it's just a matter of transferring this over to your dating and relationships.
Yeah, very powerful. Thank you for modeling that for us. I just thought that would be very helpful.
Yeah.
Do you have any more you'd like to say in terms of the confidence piece before I ask you our next juicy question?
I think that was everything. Yeah, that was everything around training cycles pretty much. Well, I guess the other thing really is smile. You know, if a man does something that makes you happy, inform your face.
Inform your face. He can't read your mind and he can't see a smile on your face if it's not there, right?
Yeah, because when I'm talking about appreciation and gratitude, you know, I'm not talking about going way over the top. Sometimes just a simple smile and a thank you is, it's enough. They just want to know that you're happy. That's all men want to know. So make sure that you're smiling. I walk around the streets, you know, I see a lot of women, especially now that we have technology, so many people on their phones looking down. You never know when you're going to zip by your king or your knight in shining armor. And so just smiling is huge. So that's another thing I'd say, and it makes you feel better anyway.
Yeah, I like that. Inform your face. I know you've touched on some of this already, Kim, but I know that one of the things that women are always wondering about, and I know it's something that we talk to our clients about frequently, is like what's going on inside of a man's mind, right? And I'd love for you to share a little bit more around this and some of the secrets of a man's mind, what they really think, feel, and want from you. And I know we've talked about some of this already, but I have a feeling you probably have something to add here.
Well, there's a few basic things to understand about men, and this is true. Like you can believe me or not, but I've been doing this for 15 years, and it's basically if you took 100 men, this is what would be observably so about them. So the first thing is that men are very logical, okay? So compared to us women, we tend to live in a very random world. We're buzzing on 16 different tracks at once. Guys aren't the same. They say what they mean, and they mean what they say. They're very logical, one step and then the next step. The next thing is they show up ready and willing and excited to please us and make us happy. So their whole world revolves around this. And it's something that a lot of women don't believe, but it is the absolute truth. Men are really misunderstood in this area because they're always doing such dumb guy stuff, I call it, all the time. You know, they're doing things that hurt or offend us, but they don't mean to. It's just because they are uninformed. But trust me, they show up ready and willing and excited to please you. The other thing is they are in complete mystery about us women. They really are clueless about how to make us happy, mostly because, as I said, our needs are changing all the time. Or, you know, one day or in a minute we want something, the next minute we want it altered or done in a different way, which to a logical man makes no sense. And we often don't clue men in because we're a bit embarrassed that we changed our mind. So know that men are in complete mystery about us, and we need to be updating the software ongoingly, pretty much on a daily basis. The other thing is, their feelings get hurt really easily. A lot of women think men don't have as many emotions as we do, but this is where we're actually very much alike. And the difference is that women are really open about revealing our emotions, and men don't express what's going on inside very easily. And actually a big reason for that is because of what I call a masculine pretense. So it's the masculine pretense is that men really do wear a mask to hide their feelings. You know, most men are brought up to stuff their feelings, to not show emotion. You know, it's considered a weakness. They're told things like, don't be a sissy, grow up, be a man, stop crying. Yet we women are given full permission to express all of our emotions, where men are really only allowed to express two of them, which is anger and grief. That's what's socially acceptable for men to express. That's the extent of it. So that's something to remember, is that they have just as many emotions as we do. They just don't have as much facility with expressing it. And the reason men get so excited about hooking up with a woman, connecting with her in relationship, is because he learns how to get in touch with emotions, and he gets to go on her emotional ride with her. So it's like he gets to sit beside her on the roller coaster and really go through that experience of highs and lows in a really safe way. Mm. And eventually, men, as you get into relationships with them longer and they feel safer and safer on an emotional level with you, they will express more of them. But know, even though you're sitting across from a man on a first date or second date and he's coming across as super confident and he can conquer the world, know that there's a very sensitive, scared little boy inside that's really hoping that you're going to pick him.
Yeah, in fact, I was speaking to a man not too long ago, Kim, and what you just said reminded me of this. And he said, believe it or not, most of us don't feel like James Bond, like we could just get any woman we want. And he said, we have some real fears around not being rejected or not being acknowledged or appreciated or chosen. And I just thought that was a really interesting comment that he made, and just reminded me, as you were speaking, it reminded me of that.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to highlight it today, Michelle, because just to dispel any kind of nervousness that women have in the early stages of dating, because it can be intimidating for women when a guy looks like he's got everything together, because we women, we don't feel like we have, like, especially if we're attracted, we feel nervous and we're doubting our looks and all that stuff. So I wanted to mention it to help women feel more powerful on dates, which is, and when you feel more powerful, then you can more easily activate your own inner queen, which then is going to bring out and activate his inner king and coax it out of him. So then as the date is going along and as the relationship is going along, you're sitting as a king and a queen together, bringing out the best in each other.
Yeah, and it becomes this complementary synergy rather than a competitive synergy, right?
Like, right. It becomes the beautiful dance that it's meant to be, where a man's producing and you're receiving and you feel fulfilled and happy, and he feels like the manly man king, that he's being a good provider. That's the seed of it, starts right there. And, you know, what we're just talking about right now is a really key point for a lot of women out there now. And these are, like, most of the clients I serve are high-powered CEO women who are, they have everything in life except a man. And they can't figure out why their business savvy and smarts and everything that got them to success in life, it cannot be transferred to their love life. And I would say one of the key things that's getting in their way is the fact that they have entered the workforce. We've adopted a lot of masculine traits so that we can adapt to the business world, because we entered the business world with all the rules already made up. It didn't include the woman's opinion, and so we adapted and were often mentored by men. So to fit in, we just became like them. We stuffed our divine feminine grace, our softer selves, so that we wouldn't appear weak or needy, so that we could fit in and get promoted and be respected and be equal. And we don't know how to switch, like a lot of women don't know how to switch that off. So they're getting on dates, and they're still running a lot of masculine energy. They're organizing the date. They're paying for half the bill. They're listing out their accomplishments to men so that they're basically proving to men, look, I'm equal to you, and I'm not a gold digger. I don't need to be taken care of. I've got my own money. Thank you very much. That's why I'm paying for half the bill. So it's this massive message that when women are giving off to men, that men aren't needed.
Mm-hmm.
And so how you switch that off is by activating your divine feminine and going more into this softer, receiving, gentle, allowing the man to be a man and take care of things and take care of you and step up and please you and make you happy, whether it's ordering your meal for you on a first date or in relationship, like just the proverbial, let him open the pickle jar. You know, that's what I'm saying here. It's like, you know, some women have what they call a honey-do list, so what they want their honey to do for them. In relationship, that's, you have a jar of that and you just write things down. You can put a list on your fridge of things that you want a man to do. And as a single woman, you just allow the man to take the reins and demonstrate that you're a woman who can allow a man to do that.
Yeah, and you have to create that space and that opening for him to step into. And sometimes mm-hmm. that means us not taking charge or doing mm-hmm. it first or taking the initiative because he hasn't done it, or we think we could do it better, right?
Yes, and that's the big problem. We think we can do things. We often can do a lot of things faster and better than men, so we just do it ourselves. But that is you playing his role. That is you running masculine energy, which is going to really, really burn you out, and it's going to bring out the frog in every king that sits across from you. So I'm not suggesting to women that you have to give up all your independence and lay in a bathtub eating bonbons all day. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. What I'm saying is go out and conquer the world and do whatever you want to do in your career, 9 to 5. And after 5 o'clock, and when you're in the company of men, you switch into a different kind of role. You
mm-hmm.
drop down not down as in less than a man, but you drop into your divine feminine and be a woman who allows men to produce things for her.
Yeah, I just had a flashback of kind of a humorous now in retrospect, man that I dated years ago before I met my husband, and I really, really loved this man, and I really wanted things to work with him, and I remember that I was trying so hard to impress him, and I can remember, looking back on it, I can see it was just a disaster what I did, but I can remember that at the end of one fiscal year for the company that I was working for, I got this huge bonus check, right? And I was all excited about it, and I remember, literally, Kim, I was waving this bonus check in front of him when I saw him because I was so excited about it, and I thought he would be so impressed. And in reality, I look back on that and I think, well, no wonder he didn't fall in love with me in a romantic way, because I was in more of a masculine, competitive, trying to impress him kind of mode.
That's right, yeah. And it's actually, especially on dates, the man shows up in a place where he's trying to impress you. It's like he shows up applying for a job, really, at you, Incorporated. So it's him who wants to list out all his accomplishments and let him know, like, his awards, and he wants to make a really good first impression in this first interview because he wants you to hire him. That's, like,
right.
Kind of the mindset guys are in. You know, he's applying for a job to be hired at Relationship U Incorporated or whatever, and so when a man is listing out his accomplishments, basically laying down his resume, that is not your cue to match him and then list out all of yours. It's about you to be admiring of that and going, oh, wow, that's fantastic. When a guy says that he ran a marathon and came in, you know, fifth, and he's really excited about that, it's not your cue to say, well, I've run 3 marathons and I came in second.
Yeah.
It's not a competition. And if a guy is really laying down his resume, you should feel excited about that, because that the more he's trying to demonstrate what a great provider he is. And if he's doing that, he's doing it because he's really interested in you.
Yeah, that's such an important thing that you're mentioning there, because I think sometimes women think, well, he's trying so hard to impress me, and they might feel like they're a little turned off by that. But in fact, like you said, it's actually a flattering thing that he wants to impress you because he is applying for a job at U Inc. I love how you said that. And this conversation is so juicy. I feel like we could continue it forever because I just love the things that we're talking about. And one of the things I've had to learn, and I work with my clients on, and I know you do too, is this concept of being able to graciously receive. And it can be from a man, and it can be a little tricky when we work so hard for our independence, we are so focused on being successful out there in the world, and we can get caught up in that competitive masculine energy, to shift into that more feminine grace, the feminine grace mode, where we're able to graciously receive and create that opening for a man to give, for him to be able to feel like that king. And I love how you said, if we don't do that, then we bring out the frog in every king.
Yeah. Well, I try and give visuals as much as I can, you know, so that even if one woman walks away from this call on her next date and starts visualizing a frog sitting across from her, she knows how she can adjust. And
right.
Yeah.
Great.
The frog
That's
with
great.
The crown on him, it's like, oh, my God, I need to backtrack and shift some things here.
Yes, I just want to ask you one last question, and then I also want to give you an opportunity to share the wonderful free gift that you're so generously offering for this audience and let them know how they can access that. And then, unfortunately, we'll have to wrap up. I'd love to continue this conversation so much longer because it's so juicy. And then I'll also give you an opportunity to just kind of give us a parting thought or piece of wisdom too, Kim. My last question for you is, many of the women that are on this call may have been out there and may have been beat up a little bit in terms of their relationship history. Maybe some heartbreak, disappointment, divorce, or a dating relationship that hasn't worked out. And we've spoken about the balance of having this feminine power, but also being able to be in our feminine grace when it comes to men. But for those women that have really been out there and had some disappointment and heartbreak, how can they make peace with the past and kind of embrace and celebrate their femininity again so that they can create this possibility for having the love that they've dreamed of and interacting with a man in that feminine grace energy?
Yeah, well, it really is about, I covered it in the beginning of the call when I'm saying about falling in love with yourself and allowing yourself to truly be queen. And I want to just define the word queen because, and make sure everybody's really clear on what that is, because we have these kind of skewed images of what queen is. And for me, queen is your divine feminine. I meld those two together. And part of the problem is that we as young women, when we were children, we were fed these stories, these fairy tales, where all the women who were in power, all the powerful women in these fairy tales were really cruel and mean. So Cruella from 1001 Dalmatians, the Wicked Witch of the West, we were brought up and fed these stories and walk away with this impression that all women in power, which a queen is in power, is somehow cruel and mean and demanding. So we almost have this sense of if we embrace our power, we will hurt people with it, or we won't know how to handle it if we have too much of it. We won't know when to exert it or when to pull it back. And so we've got all this stuff around our personal power, and there really is nothing to be afraid of. It really does come from these fairy tales, and what women need to know is that you already are so powerful. Like, in relationship with men, you absolutely have all the power. But the thing is, we've been steering men, we've been steering relationships all this time as well. The thing is that we've been steering relationships into the ground without knowing how to steer it into ecstasy instead. So we are very powerful. I mean, men, when we think of words that describe women, look at the words that describe us: magical, bedazzling, bewitching, alluring. We would not apply any of those words to men. And there's a reason for that. It's because we have this innate power within us. And unfortunately, we've been using our power for evil rather than good when it comes to being in relationship with men and relating with men. So it's about embracing your personal power and not being afraid of it, knowing that, look, you've got this huge divine life force, this power inside of you already. It's just a matter of now using it for good. And with the things that I've shared today, that's going to get you started in the right direction.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. And one thing I thought of as you were speaking to is that if you have been in a situation where you've been disappointed, or your heart's been broken, or maybe you feel like you've even made mistakes in interacting with men. I know I have. I shared one of those. To also be willing to forgive yourself and to release that, because I find that mm-hmm. for many women, forgiving ourselves of the mistakes or even the perceived mistakes that we think we might have made in our interactions or our relationships with men can be one of the hardest things. It can be sometimes even harder than
forgiving. Well, absolutely. And it's kind of that saying, you know, where you really just want to put that stick down. Like, you want to stop beating yourself up, because when you know better, you do better. So you have been operating a certain way with men up until this point, and if you had different information, you would have done things differently. So it's about celebrating the fact that you're on this call today. It's a brand new year. Here we are in January. This is a beautiful time to start with a clean, blank slate. Leave everything behind and commit to doing things differently with your new knowledge. So absolutely forgiving yourself. Just leave it all behind. Leave everything in 2015 where it belongs. Mm-hmm. You've got a whole new blank slate to start with, and what a great way to be starting with being a part of this summit and listening to all these experts here to support you. So, just forgive yourself. Like I said, when you know better, you do better. And now you're going to, you know a little more, and so you're going to do better a little more. It's a journey, you know. You don't go into the mindset like I was at, like, I'm just one day going to wake up and know everything. No, this is about, we're on a journey of mastering relationship, and it will be never-ending. To master something, there's always more to know, and you're just at a particular juncture.
Yeah, that's right. Pam, I want to give you an opportunity to share a little bit about the wonderful free gift that you're offering for our audience. The title is How to Attract a Spiritual Partner. And before you do that, I just want to let everyone know that you can click on the link right below Kim's picture on the webcast event, and her gift will be available throughout the summit. And Kim, will you tell us a little bit about this? Because it sounds like it's going to be such a wonderful resource for the women on the call.
Yeah, and don't be fooled by the title, ladies who are in relationship, How to Attract Your Spiritual Partner. This sacred mini love kit that I put together for your community, Michelle, is really perfect for anyone tuning in who's ready to attract their soulmate this year or reignite intimacy and connection if you're already in a relationship. So this gift includes a full 60-minute audio recording where I reveal the secrets of true spiritual partnership. So this is going to help single ladies who to give you kind of a blueprint on what you want to be looking for. And if you're in a relationship, it's going to be a nice little reminder or a goal post that you can maybe set up in your current relationship so that you can move things forward. And I've also included a gorgeous heart-opening meditation along with a powerful exercise that walks you through how to joyfully shift limiting beliefs that are blocking your soulmate's success. I mean, imagine shifting things joyfully. How great. Mm. So your spiritual, spiritual partnership gift is really going to help you begin to release what is no longer serving you, clear those blocks, and infinitely raise your vibration so you can attract the man you want or rekindle those loving feelings with your current partner.
Thank you so much, Kim. That's such a generous gift, and I invite each of you to access this because I know that we all progress and learn continually in terms of relationships. That's one of the things that makes it so fascinating is we never learn it all, and I know that Kim has so much wisdom to share. We've just been able to touch on it today in our conversation, and so please access her complimentary free gift as you begin this new year. I'm going to give Kim an opportunity to give us one last piece of wisdom or final thought. But before we do that, I just want to thank each of you for being with us today and also remind you that during the summit, you'll have access to over 20 love and relationship experts, and you'll be able to access each interview replay for 48 hours. And the gifts will be available throughout the entire summit. And also, I do invite you to take a look at the VIP and VIP Platinum package at readyfortherightguy.com/VIP. Kim, I just want to give you a chance to leave us with a parting thought or piece of wisdom before we wrap up.
What keeps showing for me is again, I'm drawing on reference from Lady Gaga, is don't be a drag, be a queen.
Oh, I love that.
I think that sums up everything that I share today.
Oh, that's a perfect way to wrap up. And really, we could summarize everything just with that phrase, right?
Yeah.
It's perfect. Perfect. Don't be a drag, be a queen. I want to thank Kim from the bottom of my heart for her generosity and wisdom in sharing everything that she did with us today. And I want to thank each of you for being here with us. And I hope you will join us for more of this virtual gathering and create the magic and the love that you desire in your life. We're going to wrap up and say farewell for now. And we thank you so much for being with us. Bye-bye for now.
Bye, everyone.